Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Red and White Authority brought to you by Labatt Blue. I'm Daniela Bruce alongside Art Regner, and Simon Edvinson is going to join us later in the podcast. Great interview with Simon today, Art.
Great head of hair, too.
The best head of hair.
I think it's the best on the team.
He says it's Moe's, but I feel like he's just kind of respecting his elders right now, right?
Right, right. 2 years from now, Simon will say, I have the best hair on the team.
Yeah, we'll have more on that. Well, Simon, we'll have more
and
on that later.
And he might even claim to being the best defenseman on the team. I think he and Mo
did
had
he
a little,
do that? I don't
I
think
know,
he did.
But I think he and Mo are going to have a little bit of a rivalry. I think,
but in a good way, like a healthy rivalry, right?
Very much. They'll make each other better.
Yeah, which is great for Red Wings fans.
Right, right.
Phenomenal.
Yes.
Okay. What's not great for Red Wings fans is the loss to the Washington Capitals the other night, which makes the last four games of the season even more important than they already were. Art. And honestly, that game, when you think back on it, the Red Wings didn't play a bad hockey game. They got goalied. It happens at this time of year.
Well, Charlie Lindgren sort of played out of his mind. And I don't want to, I'm not sure, in all honesty, how many real good quality scoring chances Detroit had. I have not seen the final stat as, you know, where they say quality scoring chances. But I just think that Washington played the perfect road game. They just tried to muck it up a little bit, slow Detroit down because they're a fast team, and capitalize on mistakes. Two big mistakes by the Red Wings were in the back of their net. No fault to Alex Lyon, who also played pretty well. But this time of year, this is a good learning experience for the Red Wings. It's a very good learning experience, but it's very, very disappointing. I mean, they've now taken this golden opportunity they had in the biggest game in Little Caesars history that the Red Wings had played, and they lose it heartbreakingly 2-1, and now it's not in their own hands. You know, they're not masters of their own destiny. They pretty much almost have to win out. If you look at Washington, they're at Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo, you never know with them. You never know what you're going to get with them. Then Tampa and Boston, depending on what they're playing for, I think they might put out a formidable lineup, but if everything is all set playoff-wise, they know their positioning and all that, they may rest a bunch of guys. I mean, teams are starting to do that right now. And then they play at Philly, and God only knows. I mean, at this point, the Flyers look like, you know, they've sent a little bit of a greeting card to their coach, Tortorella, who constantly was, since he keeps raking them over the coals, they have just gone in the tank. So it doesn't look very promising at this point, based on Washington's schedule, and you look at Detroit's, Pittsburgh still has something to play for.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, Red Wings tonight. So that's a huge matchup, obviously. That's a must-win game now. There's no leeway on that. The Red Wings have to win this game. They have to come away with 2 points.
And they have to just win in regulation.
You don't want to give them a point either.
No.
Exactly. And then Pittsburgh will play Boston on Saturday, Nashville on Monday, and they close the season on Wednesday, the 17th, with the Islanders. So that could be another huge game in the playoff race, at least the wild card race, too. But like you said, at this point, the Red Wings, they have to take care of business first and foremost, their own business. That's number one. But then they're going to need some help from some other teams to solidify a playoff spot. And it's not impossible. They're not completely out of it. But they definitely made it a little bit more difficult by losing to Washington.
Well, right. The thing I like to say, they didn't do themselves any favors. You know, they really didn't. It's tough. It's disappointing. But I think in a game like this, it's going to be great experience for the young Red Wings, for Lucas Raymond, who, you know, I still think plays, really has come on this year. You know, Dylan gives you everything that he has. But I do think from Steve Yzerman's perspective, this is a game where he will probably evaluate individual players more so on this game than maybe their entire body of work. Meaning this was a game that people had to step up. Mm-hmm. This was a game they had to win. They were at home. The crowd was into it. The expectation level was so high and they did not win. You can say, oh, Charlie Lindgren, you know, tip your hat to him. Yeah, you can do all that. But in their minds, you just have to win. You just have to find a way to win. And unfortunately, I'm pretty sure he thought it. I'm not trying to speak for Steve, but I think better he knows it now than later. I mean, this was a big game for them last night. And I think that you know, certain guys, I think Steve's going to really, really look at it. And I think, as I said on the forecheck, he's going to have to make some hard decisions this offseason.
Well, I mean, yes. And no matter how the season ends, I think the statement you just made is true. I think there's going to be tough decisions to make about this team, even if they make a little playoff run. Like, no matter what happens at the end of the year, there's going to be tough decisions that have to be made, because ultimately Steve wants to build a cup contender. He doesn't want to build a team that's flirting with playoff lines. He wants to build a team that's competing for Stanley Cups every year.
And there's guys that are on 1 year deals. Yeah. He signed a lot of, you know, what do you do with Sprong? What do you do with Christian Fisher? You know, Patrick Kane. I mean, if Patrick Kane wants to, you know, wants to stay in Detroit, if I'm Steve Yzerman, hey, I'll get you
We're getting
membership
ahead of ourselves a little bit.
No, but I mean, it's just saying, but you got to look at it that way now. There's only four games
left.
I
know.
So, I mean, you have to now look at how this team closes out. It's not so much that if the Red Wings make the playoffs, great, and I think everybody wants them to, but if they don't make the playoffs, but they've played meaningful games all the way up to the bitter end, that's an improvement. I know that's improvement, but what I'm saying is that if you look at the lead that they had and the way they lost it, let's say, if they don't make the playoffs, that's got to be concerning.
Yeah, I think it's concerning now, if you want to put it that way.
Well, yeah, it's concerning now, but when it's all said and done, when they look back at it, I mean, you know, look at the whole body of work, this stretch is definitely going to have more impact than when they won seven games in a row.
Yeah, I think when it's all said and done, of course, all of that's going to be evaluated. But right now, the team is focused on the last four games they have, because the reality is they're still in a playoff race and they still could find themselves above that cut line come next Wednesday.
Yes, they could. I mean, it's possible. But if I'm the Red Wings right now, and I think David Perron said it after the loss to Washington on Tuesday night, I think he said, you know, if we have to win out, we have to win out. Mm-hmm. So they have to win out. Yeah. I mean, they have to put themselves in the best position. And right now, it's winning four hockey games. That's the way that they have to look at it. That's the way they have to, you know, if they finish out with four consecutive victories and come up short, then they left it all out there. You know, you're going to be disappointed. But what happens in Pittsburgh? What happens in Toronto? And, you know, Austin Matthews, you know, if he's going for 70 goals, and he loves, you know, he sees red, you know, I mean, he's always motivated against Detroit. So, you know, I'm not saying it's a Herculean task, I'll say that, mm-hmm. but it's not impossible. And these guys have shown at critical points of this season, Danielle, as you know, every time they needed something, they had to turn it around, or they needed a 2 points, they've gotten it. Look at most recent example is at Tampa. Mm-hmm. No one thought that was going to happen. Nobody.
Yeah, they can get it done. That we've seen them, they're capable of getting it done. It's going to be tougher. We didn't mention this, that Andrew Kopp is now out of the lineup too. So one of the best lines for this team of Christian Fisher, Michael Rasmussen, and Andrew Kopp, two of the three are now out with injury.
Right.
So that makes it tougher.
Right. And, you know, I've seen Rass. He looks good. You know, he's very personable as always. But I just think that, and he's traveling on the trip, and so is Kopp. They're both on the trip. To see maybe if they can play. I don't know. Broken cheekbone, and I'm not a doctor, but, you know, I think Kopp's probably, you know, hopefully maybe he can come back against Montreal. I don't see him coming back this weekend.
Well, they're officially right now, because Newsy talked about it today, that it's a process that has to be evaluated in different ways. He mentioned the head injury factor of it. So you have to be evaluated from that standpoint.
For concussion.
You have to fix the cheekbone. So that has to be done. So there's just a lot that goes into this injury. So they probably won't know more until at the earliest tomorrow. And from there, they'll likely decide what he's going to do. But in a day-to-day range right now, so is Michael Rasmussen, and Zach Aston-Reese gets the call up, and they seem confident in their lineup. They really do. But it just gets tougher when your best checking line, who has been so good for you through the final stretch of games, now two of the three are out.
Right. There's no doubt. And that's a shame, because, mm-hmm. you know, obviously the Red Wings are going to, they're playing playoff hockey right now. Mm-hmm. Last night, Tuesday night, was a perfect example of what playoff hockey is all about. A 2-1 tight checking game. guys all over each other. Goalie comes up big. Ovechkin scores the game-winning goal. Your best players have to be your best players this time of year. And so I expect, you know, and I'm not saying that Detroit's best players weren't good. You know, it was, as you said, Danielle, and I agree with you, it wasn't a horrible effort by Detroit losing to Washington. In the end, their goaltender made, what, 42 saves?
Yeah. Can you remember the last game? Has there been a game this season where the Red Wings have put up 40 shots? I don't think so.
No. And lost, yeah, for sure. I don't think so. But now they just have to regroup. There's good leadership in the room, and they just have to take it to Pittsburgh. And, you know, which is another weird thing. It's because the guy that's been playing great for Pittsburgh is our buddy Ned Nedeljkovic, you know, and he's going to be in net there. And so there's still a lot of drama. And let me say this, regardless if the Red Wings make the playoffs or not, this has been the most fun I think we've had towards the end of the season in 7 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, usually at this time, Danielle and I are putting our mock drafts together and where the Red Wings are going to go.
We're on to Tigers season.
Yeah, you know, Tigers, and I'm looking at the Griffins, and, you know, they're going to be in the playoffs, or the Walleye, you know, just to see, okay, what, because there's going to be playoff hockey in the Detroit organization. Hopefully the Red Wings will be there, but the Griffins are in the playoffs and the Walleye are in the playoffs, and that's always kind of pretty good, too, if you need a hockey fix to see both of those teams, and especially the Griffins. I mean, they're loaded with Detroit prospects.
Yeah, and we're going to get to our one positive right now. Well, it's not one positive, I shouldn't say that, but a positive about this team is the way that Simon Edvinson has been playing, sliding in as a top four defenseman and doing a really good job of taking those matchups, fitting in seamlessly. He talks about all of that and more on today's interview. All right, everybody, joining us on today's episode of the Red and White Authority, Red Wings defenseman Simon Edvinson. Simon, I understand this is your first podcast. I know you knew I was going to call you out on that as soon as you told me.
Yeah, it's my first time. So, yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Get a little closer to the mic.
Yeah, we can tell it's your first time.
Yeah, see, this that was a newbie.
Speak right into the mic.
Get a little closer.
This works good.
I hope everyone heard your answer there.
Did I hear it?
I'm sure they did. I'm just messing with you. I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did. We'll jump right into it. Thank you for taking the time to join us. Excited. This is the best podcast experience you can possibly have. Oh, so the next one will never live up to it, but I'm, you know, that's good. So you've played 11 games now since you were recalled from Grand Rapids this season, right? What are some of the biggest differences you've noticed for yourself this year as a player in comparison to the 9 games that you played last season?
I was a lot more nervous last time I was up. That was my first game. I think it was against Colorado, I'm pretty sure. And I couldn't sleep the day before. This time it was a little bit more pressure on the ice, but I felt a little bit more comfortable outside and I got a little bit more hours of sleep. So from that side, it was different, but yeah, it's so far it's been good.
You walked right into a playoff race.
Yeah.
What is the intensity level like this time around compared to last season? Not that, you know, the Red Wings kind of were a little bit, you know, they kind of had a swoon in the second half of the season. So what was it like this time around when you walk in and you're seeing competition at its very highest level?
Yeah, but I kind of knew what I was a little bit walking into. I've been following Detroit during the year. Of course, to get up here, it was a little bit tense at start. It was every point matters, every game matters, and it still does. But yeah, I was just trying to find my role kind of into it, try to figure it out as fast as possible. I think the first game I played was against Columbus. I know that we didn't have a good first period, and I was like, oh, I don't want to go into a loss right away. And second period, third period went just way better than the first, and we won that. And I learned this the day after, we won that as well, and now you start to feel good, and I think the team really felt good after that as well. It was just like a straight going up, if you know what I mean.
Right. No, I definitely know what you mean. You are playing top 4 minutes. You're a top four defenseman at, you know, the ripe old age of, what are you now, 21?
Yeah, I just turned.
Yeah.
Just
turned. Happy birthday, by the way. A little belated. But the confidence that this coaching staff has shown in you since you've been up must really get, you know, make you feel good and make you confident.
No, of course. It's good to have confidence from the coaches, from the players as well. I feel like as far as I've been up here, it's been just good things. I feel like I've grown every game I've been playing. I feel more comfortable out there. It's 11 games in now for me, and of course it's more growth to do. I feel like it's different areas that I could be better at. But, yeah, so far I've been feeling really good. I think the team as well has been feeling good about walking into those games. That's what it feels like in the locker room. Just we're excited for each other. You know, everybody wants to succeed. Everybody have each other's back. Those couple of games we played now, and it's fights, it's everything, you know. And it's just a lot of energy, a lot of excitement out there. So that's the funny part about it.
Okay, so you know I'm here to ask the tough questions, right?
Of course you are.
Yes, of course I am. Yeah. What did you do for your 21st birthday? That's a big one.
That's
at least in the US, right?
I've been waiting. No. So my 21st, I remember this very good because this was during the All-Star break. and I was actually injured, so I didn't go to the All-Star thing in San Jose. So I was like, okay, what am I going to do here? It's my 21st birthday. What am I going to do? So I invited my very good friend to come to Grand Rapids, actually. He came on a Sunday and pretty dead. Like nothing to do on a Sunday in Grand Rapids.
Not in Grand Rapids. Yeah, no. The whole town closes.
Monday, even worse. It was like you couldn't see a person out there. So that was my birthday on a Monday. We had dinner, just enjoying each other, you know, like having a dinner with an old friend that I haven't had for a while. And that was about it.
Well, your 21st birthday would be big in North America or in America, but isn't the legal age in Sweden like 10 or something? I mean,
it's a little bit more, but it's 18. Yeah, it's 18.
Yeah, well, that's not a very wild story, so we're going to have to get back to you on that one, okay?
That was all. Actually, we played video games. That's about it.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, that's all we did. We didn't do anything else, actually.
Pretty exciting.
Played video games the whole
season is over, we'll make sure that you get a good 21st birthday celebration.
We actually planned something. So we're going to Spain. A couple of friends, and we're going to Spain. They rented a house and going to have a good couple of days there, vacation-wise.
Okay, that sounds way more exciting than a Sunday in Grand Rapids. But
pick me in the podcast after that.
Yeah, okay, there we go. We'll follow up with you on that one. We definitely will.
We can. You know what? You'll be in Spain, and we'll do it from Spain. Right?
Yeah, you can zoom in.
We'll interrupt your vacation.
You can zoom in. I wanted to follow up with the confidence factor, getting back to hockey, right? So you're having your coaches kind of instill that in you here, your teammates instill that in you here, but really you developed in Grand Rapids, right? This year was huge for you in Grand Rapids. So how did that help you being the guy that was playing in all situations, getting the top minutes there? What do you think that did to impact your game to make you ready for this NHL level?
No, I think Grand Rapids has a really good impact on me, especially this year. I feel like the team in general, new coach, Lash as a D coach, the guys that was there was just kind of perfect, if you know what I mean. Like, we had a really good D core, and we played good hockey. We played fun hockey, we played with the puck, and I think we challenged each other as players to get even better every day, just to play fun hockey. I think it helped me as well to play all those situations. And when I got up here, I felt comfortable enough to do it up here as well. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's a different momentum right now with how the games are going, with the pressure on the games here. But I still feel comfortable of doing everything that I did down there up here. It's just try to figure out every opportunity when to do it and when not to do it. I think that's going to be a little bit slower this year because you don't want to try too much right now. And I think that's the biggest part of it right now.
You know, I wanted to ask you almost a double question here, but Dan Watson is the new head coach, Toledo Walleye coach, was a former defenseman himself. I know you mentioned Brian Lashoff, who was like Mr. Grand Rapids Griffin forever, but how have those two influenced you? How has Watson maybe brought out more of your game than, and I don't want to say anything against Ben Simon, he was a great coach too, but you know what I mean. How has Dan influenced you? And, you know, I know Lash has too.
No, of course, Ben, this was my first year. Always harder first year for a player personally coming overseas. Dan was, this was my second year. I was a little bit more comfortable, and he helped me just develop into a bigger player in general, both outside and on the ice. Just small things. Not much. I talked a lot with Lash about like how to go from AHL player to NHL player during the season, different situations that looks different up here than it does down there. So it was just a bunch of different things compared to last year, where it was like try to figure out how to play on smaller ice mostly, just get head into the game and. Yeah, a lot of different stuff like that.
You mentioned something interesting. Just right now at the NHL level is not a time for you to be trying things, right? You want to make sure you're playing defensive-minded first and you know, holding it down on the blue line. But Coach Lalonde said something interesting yesterday, just that because you're young and because you're talented, there are times that he has to kind of reel you in and the coaching staff has to reel you in a little bit. Does that just come from your style of play, the adjustments to the league, or can you get into that a little bit? What exactly does he mean by make reel you in?
No, we actually had a talk about this. So I think it's growth in the game kind of thing. He told me about these situations where like risk and reward things. Of course, you want to have a D defend the goal as much as possible. You don't want to have a forward to take your spot. And I think the game we played was against Tampa, I think it was. And we had this conversation after where it was, I went up a little bit too high. They made one play, and now I had a forward that was defending for me, and that's, of course, not an ideal situation to have, not in the moment we are in right now. So it was mostly that, and then try to work on my stuff on the blue line, because you've seen like that I can do stuff on the blue line that I really haven't done or that I haven't used yet.
Right.
So it was more like choose your situations wisely.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's the talks we've been having off the ice, like when to jump up and when to not to, and yeah, stuff like that. Yeah. But yeah, he still wants me to play my game with the puck, find a good outlet passes and stuff like that. So yeah, that's been it's been a good conversation from the coaches, I feel like, as well.
You know, most Red Wing fans envision you and Mo being the anchors of Detroit's blue line for at least the next dozen years. Do you ever let yourself think about that, or do you have to just concentrate on the here and now?
Right now, in this moment, I'm just concentrating on making the playoffs. That's all my mind goes through now. It's recovery, eat good, and play good, sleep good as well. But of course, it's been a lot of talk about that, even on off seasons. That people been coming to Sweden to talk about it, and yeah, it's just fun. It's a lot of talk about with Ray as well. That's just it's just fun thing. I think it's just not us. I think it's a whole group. Like the whole. I think we try to build a core.
Yeah.
Just how to be on the ice, off the ice, personality wise. It's not players. I think it's just a mentality you have to have when you come to the rink. That you want to be better every day. That you want to take care of yourself and. Like it's no cheat. Like you can't cheat through anything. And I think that's the biggest part we try to like rile in right now. To get that kind of atmosphere that we have this group kind of family thing, but you want to get better every day. And that's something that I want to have as well, that I want to be a part of course.
Well, several of your Grand Rapids teammates are probably going to end up joining you here. I mean, you guys had a pretty good family environment down there as well.
Yeah. No, that's something I feel like was the biggest thing for us this year, just the group come together as quick, and that's how you play much better if you think as a team and not as an individual player. And I think that's why we were so successful this year.
Okay, last one, Simon. At least last one from me. I'll let Art have one more after this.
Thank you.
Just one. Are you familiar at all with Axel Sandin Pelikka? Do you know him in any way? I know that it would be kind of a long shot. You guys are age difference, right? But he's playing in Frölunda right now over in Sweden. So have you met him? Do you know him at all?
I know my brother knows him.
Okay.
I don't know him. I never met him, I don't think. Actually, I don't know if I met him or not, but...
he's going to be really upset if he hears this and you did meet him. He's going to be like, wow, he doesn't remember me.
Yeah, sorry about that. No, but I know he's a great guy. My brother knows him. Terrific hockey player. He's a very big part of Skellefteå right now, I know.
Yeah.
That my team is playing in the semifinal. I hope he plays bad just because of that. No, I'm kidding.
Just that game.
Yeah, no, they play best of seven games right now, and he's playing good. I've been watching him, and yeah, he's a very good player.
Very quickly, rapid fire. Is Kosa taller than you, Sebastian Kosa, or are you taller than him?
We actually had this discussion, but he was not taller than me. He was not taller than me. I don't think so.
Aren't you both listed as 6'6"?
Six, six?
Yeah. I know. Yeah. But his hair is going up a little bit more than mine.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. But we had this conversation. I don't know. We might be just equal. I'm going to say equal.
Okay.
Equal length on that one.
That's a smart
one. Yeah, keep it.
All right. Second quick question. Your blonde hair must be the envy of every teammate you've ever had. Do you use hair products? And are you obsessed with your hair like most Detroit fans are?
You should
take your cap off so people can see it.
My hat?
There you go. Look at that.
It is a beautiful hat.
Yeah, right? I just got it. It's a Tigers hat. I have to get something before.
We're turning you into a baseball fan, remember? That was like the...
Right, I don't...
So you don't care for your hair at all? I mean, nothing? Do you use shampoo? Or just bar soap?
I use shampoo. I use everything, but it's like no products or anything in it. It's strictly Swedish hair.
Yeah, from my, that's right.
From my parents and grandparents.
Do you think Mo's kind of jealous, isn't he?
Mo?
Yeah.
Mo's got some good hair. Yeah,
but it's
hair.
Not like that.
No?
No, it's not. It's the blonde that sets it off.
I feel like Mo has one of the best flows in the league. I try to get up to that level, but we don't know. I don't know if I'm going to get up there.
All right, finally, I have to ask you this. Your aunt, I think it's your aunt. At first, I thought it was your mother, is a writer of crime fiction?
Yeah.
Okay, true. Now...
Wait, it's your aunt.
It's your aunt, yes.
It's my aunt.
Yeah, we follow
her.
Social media, so...
She's a big fan of yours.
Yeah, she is a big fan of yours. Now, is this true? One of her reoccurring police detective characters in these novels has a hockey-mad son named Simon. Is that character patterned after you?
I think it is. Yeah. I think it is. So she always like gets inspired from reality, as most good writers are doing. And she, I'm in that, and I actually read it, and it's a really good, really good book.
Okay.
How do you like your character?
He's good. He's good. He's very hockey fixated. Very hockey fixated. But yeah, she's took a lot of her writing from our family. So I know she takes a lot of ideas from real life. So no, it's not my mom. My mom does. She's a PT.
Personal trainer, right?
Yeah. Personal trainer, so it's more workout stuff with her.
I think
not so much.
What a balance that is, though.
Danielle,
right?
You see?
Right? Dad, police officer.
Yeah, look at you.
Simon Zant's next book will be about a professional hockey player who plays in the NHL in the evening and solves crimes during the day.
Could you see yourself doing that, maybe, if you weren't
crimes?
A hockey player?
Oh,
like,
no, no.
I mean, police
Sherlock
work runs
Holmes.
In your family,
yeah.
Obviously.
It does. It does run in my family. I know. I'm kind of the guy that breaks that chain now. So. Sorry, Dad, about that. But we'll see. Maybe.
All
maybe
right.
In the future.
I don't think you'll have to worry about that for a long time. If I'm making any prediction there.
No. Yeah. We'll see.
All right, Simon. Well, thank you for taking the time
thank
to join
you for
us.
Having
we appreciate
me.
It. Yeah. How was your first podcast experience? 1 to 10.
It was
rate
fun.
It
was fun. It was good questions and not so tough. I like your questions more than
hers. Well, of course,
it's always tougher than yours.
Oh,
right,
my goodness.
That's because
you're going to hear this for a while.
Yeah,
now,
you
got
to get used to it, though.
See,
you're going to get tougher questions than this.
I've been talking to Swedish hockey players for 30 years now. So
he knows how to do it. Yeah, he's got it.
Yeah.
I'm learning still.
When are you in Spain again?
We're going to be in Marbella.
Yeah, and when?
When? July.
Okay, mid-July. We'll say mid to end July.
Okay, all right. That's when we'll call you then.
That second podcast
that's your past,
episode
second
booked
I'm not,
now.
I'm not
going to
answer.
Thank you,
Simon. Best of luck.
Thank you, guys.
Well, it's always great chatting with Simon. I'm honored that we were the first podcast that he ever joined. We should put that on our resume, actually. First podcast
okay,
that Simon
sure. Edmonds. All right, I
just
will.
Wait in the future when Simon is the one of the league's best defensemen, and we were the first podcast he ever joined.
Right. Well, he has a great personality. Obviously, I think fans probably heard that. But the thing I really took from that interview was how much calmer he was his second year compared to his first year. And when he brought up the small ice surface, because as you know, Danielle, everybody who comes from Europe, that's always our first question.
Always talk
how
about
are you
it.
Going to adjust to it? And they all say, well, yeah, you know, it's, I kind of like it, or it's, you know, there's a little of adjustment, but after two games, but you could tell that it took him a while to adjust to the small ice
surface. I think
surface.
It takes more people, more players, I should say, more time than they admit to, because they don't want to answer that super honestly, right? Like, oh, it's the biggest adjustment. But it is. It's got to be.
Well, from his standpoint, a defenseman, you know, it's smaller ice. I mean, there's less time and space. I mean, forwards are on him right away. You know, he has to make a decision.
Yeah.
Well, quickly.
It's been impressive the way that the second time around that he's been able to handle. He's taking on top six forwards with being a top four defenseman right now. And we have played some elite level teams when he's been in the lineup, the Rangers, the Lightning, just playing really well. And like you said, the poise is there. I think it was funny when you ask about Derek Lalonde and the reeling him in type thing where he's like, yeah, now is not the time to try things. At least he knows that, right?
Right.
We're in a playoff race. Just play defense, Simon. Just play defense.
Right. But the more comfortable he gets, he'll start doing that.
Yeah.
But another thing that I really enjoyed about him was, is that when he was talking about playing within himself, you could also see that he was also thinking, there's a lot that I haven't shown yet.
Yeah.
And I think if you look at it, you know, they started him off about 15 minutes a game. He's now averaging a little over 18. But if you look at the last three or four games, he's right up there at the 20-minute mark.
Mm-hmm.
So they have confidence in him. He's there to close games. And I think that the Red Wings coaching staff likes what they see. And as long as he plays within himself and not try to do too much, which he isn't, I think he will be, obviously, he's on the team next year, but he's going to be, as we've always have hoped, along with him and Mo, they're going to be the anchors of the blue line for a long time.
Definitely. And he's gotten some PK time too, which is huge. That just shows a lot of trust is what the point is there. He's out there in critical moments on critical penalty kills, and they don't think twice about it. They put him out there.
No. Yeah. But you have to know.
Yeah.
You really do. I mean, you know, what better way for him? You know, baptism under fire is the way to go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and he has been under fire. I think he even mentioned that, you know, he walked into a playoff run, yeah. You know, and he said from the moment he got here, it's been every game's been huge. He's responded extremely well.
Yeah, high pressure situations, and he's doing really well with that. Now we just need him to be able to contain Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang. We need him to contain Austin Matthews, make sure he doesn't get to 70 on Saturday.
Well, the thing he has
up for the task.
The thing that he has going for him is this guy, okay, yeah, hey, rookie. And then they look at him, and, you know, he's a giant. And, you know, he's 6'6". So, I mean, he can handle himself. He's physically imposing. And just like Mo, you know, who's starting to fill out a little bit, can you imagine Simon, who just turned 21, as we heard, and can you imagine him at 24, 25? He's going to be a big boy.
Yeah, definitely is going to be. Who do you think is taller, though? Do you think Kosa has him, or do you think Simon's taller? I really don't know. They're both listed as 6'6".
You know, I think the doctor is taller. I just have a feeling. But then again, you know, I've been around Kosa more, you know what I mean? I'm always thinking, wow, he's tall. You know, I think I keep telling Michael Rasmussen he's 6'9", and he keeps laughing, you know? Every time I look at him, he looks bigger. But, you know, I'm probably shrinking. I'm sure that's what's going
on. That's part of it, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you are a little shorter than when I met you,
yeah,
I think.
I trust me, I am. I get a physical every year, and I get measured. It's like, you mean I lost another quarter inch? What the hell?
Oh, aging is wonderful.
Oh, yeah, getting old, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Well, one thing that doesn't change for you, Art, in your old age, is that you enjoy a nice cold Labatt Blue.
Oh, ice cold, frothy Labatt Blue. I love it. You know, it doesn't matter what the season is. It doesn't matter what the weather is. When the day is over, you crack open a Labatt Blue, and suddenly your day is so much better.
I hope they pay you for your nice ad reads there.
I hope they do, too.
It's okay if they don't, though. We love that they sponsor the podcast.
And from day one.
Yeah, that's right. Their ride or dies, right. Labatt Blue.
Yes, that's right.
They've lived through it all.
They're big fans. Thank
big
you.
Big fans. And thank you all for tuning in to another episode of the Red and White Authority. We'll see you next week.